Good evening, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. For this evening's devotion, we'll consider, as Brother Joel has read for us, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I think you'll find that these verses are familiar to many of us. These verses are often used by believers to communicate the mysteries of God's providence, and which is the truth that God is guiding everything that happens in the world, and the way in which he does so is often surprising to us. It's often in a way which we do not expect. His ways are often beyond our finite human comprehension. To a friend who has experienced an unexpected setback to his or her plans, you might offer this reminder, right? You might say, his ways are not our ways. God has a higher purpose for allowing this to take place. Now, as we examine these verses this evening in their scriptural context, I hope to share with you how it means actually something quite different. It is not a statement of the surprise at the mystery of God's providence, but one of surprise of God's heart of compassion towards his people. So, this passage is found in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. It is a chapter well known for being full of wonderful gospel encouragements to all to come to the Lord and receive freely the blessings of the Savior, the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is saying through the prophet Isaiah that man cannot earn God's grace, but must turn back to the Lord in humble faith and repentance in order to receive life and forgiveness without cost. Let us look at the text more closely. On the screen, you'll see verses 6 to 9, which we'll examine more closely right now. You see that the first part of this passage, these four verses, tells us what we are to do. And then the second part tells us why we are to do what we are to do. And the transition point between these two parts is in verse 7, where God says, he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. So let's follow the line of reasoning in these four verses. We see in verse 6, there is an open call to all to seek the Lord while he may be found. This is a call of urgency because there's a window of opportunity here when God permits himself to be found. Sooner or later, it will be time's up when he will not permit himself to be found. Verse 7, we learn that this call is even to the wicked, right? The wicked are to forsake their wicked ways and their unrighteous thoughts and return to the Lord, you know, in whom is no wickedness, in whom is no unrighteousness. We are to return to the Lord where we truly belong. And then we come to the transition point. We who are wicked and unrighteous are to seek the Lord because he will have mercy upon us. Right? He will have mercy upon us. Right? This phrase here, right, to have mercy, does not mean a withholding of punishment, which is usually what we mean when we say mercy. But it means to show compassion through appropriate action to alleviate the problem at hand. So picture here with me, you know, a child having a prolonged bout of fever and flu. What does the father of this child do? He takes he takes leave from his work. He clears his other appointments to be with his child, to bring the child to visit a doctor, to get the right medicine, and to watch over her, right? To ensure that she gets what she needs, hydration, rest, and of course takes her medicine. God shows his compassion to us in this similar way, right? He alleviates the problem that we are experiencing. And this verse tells us how he alleviates the problem. It is through a most appropriate action, and that is to abundantly pardon. To abundantly pardon. This is exactly the word of consolation that we need, because whether we are young believers or whether we are long-time Christians, we find ourselves wandering away from our Heavenly Father time and time again. God says here that we are to return to Him again with a contrite heart, and God will not pardon in a stingy way, right? He will not withhold pardon or give just a little bit of pardon, but He will abundantly pardon. He, you know, looking at the many times, you know, that we fail, God will not say to us, "Oh, you failed again. You know, I'm only going to bear with you once more, and this time in a less generous way than before." Right? Sometimes we ourselves, when we offer pardon, we tend to think this way. But instead, God will sweep us up again in His arms, just as, you know, the father ran to embrace his prodigal son in the parable, the son who returned to him. Now we look at verse 8. Verse 8 shows us the reason why we ought to do these things. Verse 8 tells us the underlying reason why he will have mercy, rather, and why he will abundantly pardon. The Lord tells that he will abundantly pardon because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. Verse 9 goes even further to tell us that his thoughts are not just different from our thoughts. They are higher, right? It is not that we are, you know, when we try to, it's not that our thoughts are just off, you know, from the thoughts of God by just a few degrees. As high as the heavens are higher than the earth, you know, just like saying as far as the east is from the west. This is a Hebrew way of saying that there is an infinitely vast amount of space separating God's ways from our ways. His plans, his purposes, his disposition, his intentions towards us are infinitely higher, far grander, and saturated with a compassion which is at a level which is beyond what we with our fallen minds can apprehend. I think we can stop to think, right? Why does God provide this further reason for his mercy? Is it not because we so desperately need it? As saints on this side of eternity, even when we hear of God's merciful pardon, we tend to latch on to that promise, but with a diminished view of the heart from which that merciful pardon flows. And how do we end up with oftentimes a diminished view of God's merciful heart? Think of the last time a neighbor showed up at your house door with an unexpectedly thoughtful gift, right? Perhaps it is a tub of home-cooked soup, right? Packed with nutritious ingredients, bought for hours because your neighbor knew that you were not feeling well. What is, you know, the natural response? If it was me, I would feel very paisey, right? You would start to think, what would be that nice thing that I can give to my neighbor in return when I'm able to? Yes, we feel uneasy when good is given to us that outweighs the good that we can give to others. It is our nature to feel a need to pay back the good that we received. And this natural bend towards reciprocity, this desire for fairness, in a sense, is in itself something good and glorious, as it reflects God's nature of order and fairness. But because of our sinful nature, we apply this reciprocity at times in the wrong places. When it comes to our relationship with God, while we can never repay the good that has been done to us, the natural tendency of our fallen human nature is to then limit the size of God's infinite heart of compassion towards us. You know, we may be amazed at how very merciful and gracious our Lord Jesus is, but we know not that the mercy that we comprehend is just a tiny fraction of the infinitely abundant pardon that is in the heart of God, our Savior. In our minds, we bring God's heart of merciful pardon to a lower level than it actually is, and we end up with a minimized view of what God is like. But the Lord, you know, in this text, shows us that he's far from what we expect him to be. You know, John Calvin commented on this passage, saying that men are accustomed to judge and measure God from themselves, for their hearts are moved by angry passions and are very difficult to be appeased, and therefore they think that they cannot be reconciled to God when they have offended him. But the Lord shows that he is far from resembling men. Close quote. So, in fact, the flow of this passage tells us that there is, in fact, a great gulf, right, between us and God. It is not a sheer distancing between the divine God and profane mankind, but in fact, a vast difference between how man thinks toward God and how God thinks toward man. We think small thoughts of God, while God's heart is set on us in the most loving and gracious way, and it will never change. And so, I would like to commend to all of us two possible applications this evening. The first one, have we not known thee as we ought? Right, I think coming from this passage, we must, with the Holy Spirit's help, fight against our sinful tendency to project, you know, our natural expectations about who God is onto him. We cannot view his expect, you know, his expressions of mercy with our old eyes, right? The eyes of our old man. We must let God's word instruct us on how God is and what he's like. You know, as the hymn goes with this title, it says, "We have not known thee as we ought, nor learned thy wisdom, grace, and power. The things of earth have filled our thought, and trifles of the passing hour. Lord, give us light, thy truth to see, and make us wise in knowing thee." The second application point, this passage calls us to come to him just as I am, you know, just as we sang the hymn just now. If it feels like our spiritual lives are currently in a mess, perhaps we are struggling with specific sins in our lives, perhaps we are limping in our Christian race rather than running strong and consistently, let us know that God's compassionate heart towards you is not dependent on you keeping yourself all together, right? On you keeping yourself clean. Know that his heart of mercy is so infinitely great that he gave us the Savior, right? Know that verse, right, in Romans chapter 5, that God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We only need to seek the Lord with our broken, contrite hearts, and he will hear our prayer, and he will abundantly pardon. As I end this sharing, I would like to read this verse, which comes a few chapters later in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, which helps to underscore how God, whose ways are higher than our ways, delights in dwelling with and lifting up lowly mankind such as us. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Shall we close in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that as we have heard your word this evening, may you help us to gain a better understanding of who you are and how you are like, not based on our own preconceived notions, but based on the word that you have given to us. We pray that as we realize how you are such a merciful God, one who will abundantly pardon, that Lord, we may respond to love you more and to serve you more faithfully. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.